Blog Talk Radio.
Apocalypse un 14.
Jesucristo es moreno. Jesucristo no es blanco. La prueba está en la Biblia. Yo te tribo, baila mis hermanos.
Mi hermano.
Jesucristo es moreno. Jesucristo no es blanco. La prueba está en la Biblia. Yo te tribo, baila mis hermanos.
Mi hermano.
Black Wall Street, ball out.
Ball
I buy all gear till I'm all out. Rep 12 tribes, that's what I'm about.
Yeah.
Feast day, gotta work, wanna call out.
Call out.
Dance floor, yeah, I'm in a groove. Don't pay them haters no attention till the move. Celebrating, see me dancing on my shoes.
Yeah.
To the old life, I'm chucking up the dudes.
Yeah.
It's a new moon and I'm feeling great.
Great.
Off on time and I'm never late.
Never late.
Got my brothers with me and they all straight.
Straight.
Good wine, good food on my dinner plate.
Yeah,
we just chillin', having fun.
Having fun.
Sayonara, old world, cause you done.
Yeah.
God got me shining like the sun.
Like the sun.
I ain't know we shining with the sun.
With the sun.
Move your feet in your sneakers. The music sweet through the speakers. One man to a mama teacher. Celebrate, true believers. Don't stop, party a dance, we a dance. Don't stop, dance, we a dance. And I tell them don't stop, party a dance, we a dance. Move your feet till your muscles them. Don't stop, party a dance, we a dance. Don't stop, dance, we a dance. And I tell them don't stop, party a dance, we a dance. Dance, we a dance till you can't feel your body.
Jesucristo
is
moreno.
Jesucristo.
Fate bring.
Yeah.
We be so fly, think we got wings.
Got wings.
Yeah, we call the shots, tell them we the king.
Yeah.
I like the suspense, leave them guessing.
Leave them guessing.
Pay them losing no mind. Why you stressing?
Why you stressing?
Yeah. Devil always trying, he be testing.
He be testing.
But Father steady raining down the blessings.
Yeah.
Shout out to the sisters with the woolly hair.
Woolly hair.
Natural style, rock it anywhere.
Anywhere.
Fashion unlocked, people gotta stare.
They gotta stare.
You ain't usual, now you something rare.
Yeah.
Hands in the air, lift them real high.
Real high.
You know you styling, and you know you fly.
You know you fly.
Hands in the air, lift them real high.
Real high.
Praises to the Father, to the Most High.
We not stay still like ice in a freezer. Who not drink tequila, I sip margarita. Don't stay behind, get with the procedure. If you don't repent, then it's hasta la vista. Party a dance, we a dance, don't stop. Dance, we a dance, and I tell them don't stop. Party a dance, we a dance. Move your feet till your muscles them don't stop. Party a dance, don't stop. Dance, we a dance, and I tell them don't stop. Party a dance, we a dance. Dance, we a dance till you can't be your
body. Jesucristo is moreno. Jesucristo no es blanco.
No blanco.
La prueba
está
en la Biblia.
La Biblia.
Yo te tribo,
yo te tribo.
Baila mis hermanos.
Mi hermano.
Jesucristo
Cristo.
Es moreno.
Moreno.
Jesucristo
Cristo.
No es blanco.
No blanco.
La prueba,
la prueba
está en la Biblia.
La Biblia.
Yo te tribo,
yo te tribo.
Baila mis hermanos.
Mi hermano.
Shalom, shalom. Welcome to the Native Latin and Black Lost History Show. Another Sabbath. All praises to the Most High in Christ. I am Captain Yahshua, and along with me,
Captain of Pogrom. Shalom, happy Sabbath.
Hey, shalom, happy Sabbath, Officer Amariah.
All right, all right. Just as a reminder, the guest call-in number is 516-531-9797. 516-531-9797. So, I want to discuss immigration, and we'll probably go over some current events as time permits. You know, all this stuff, I had an interaction this week. I don't know. I told you about it, right? Yeah. Did we speak? And I told you how, like, I had somebody call.
Yes.
I picked up the line.
the disguise apologetic.
Yeah, yeah. The deceptive.
Apologist.
Wasting my time at dinner, bro. My food got cold. I took the phone call because I was expecting a call. And it was a brother that sounded like sincere. Like, he had some questions. Like, he wanted to learn. And I said, you know what? Okay, right. We're commanded to be in season, out of season. I said, I don't want to brush the brother off. I said, there's a brother here that wants some information about his true nationality and true history. I said, so let me, you know, deal with him for a little bit. So, you know, I had let the brother know, hey, you know, I don't have a lot of time. You know, I got some stuff going on or whatever. I said, but, you know, I'll take a few of your questions, whatever. Anyway, long story short, it was a so-called apologist, okay, that calls up. And under the guise that he wanted to learn stuff, but to try to challenge me on certain scriptures. And I'm like, bro, I'm not going to debate you on something that we're the authority on, okay? It's high time that y'all understand that it ain't just no random person that's going to pick this up and be the authority on this book, okay? Eyes got to be enlightened. Psalms 111 and 10, all right, says what? A good understanding of all they that do his commandments. If you ain't operating in that mode, you're speaking in ignorance, all right? And it was like to no avail, really, because the stuff they talk about, like basically in general, their whole thing is to try to pick apart Deuteronomy 28. But then how do they pick apart 2 Ezra 13? Let's just say we entertain that for a second, that they wanted to pick up because they think our whole thing rests on that, but it clearly doesn't. But get me Deuteronomy 28:45 really quick, because I want to tell you this was I was already kind of on to him at like probably, I don't know, a few minutes into the call. I was kind of on to him. But I still wasn't 100% that it was an apologist, but rather maybe somebody that was exposed to that doctrine.
Mm hmm.
I said, okay, so maybe he's just trying to see clarity on these things that they try to point out that's supposedly an affront to us. It doesn't change anything because, if anything, what by and large many people try to accuse us of, which is isolating scripture, which we clearly do not, that's what they do. Because Deuteronomy 28, from the blessings to the cursings, are in full context, and this kind of summarizes how they are in full context. So go ahead, start at verse 45.
The book of Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 45. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee and overtake thee till thou be destroyed.
Right. So this is the second time that Moses put a warning out about by not, you know, keeping the laws. All these curses, he said, they're going to come upon thee and overtake thee until thou be destroyed as a people, because we understand the prophecy in the scripture. It said there'll be no end of Israel. So we're like the stars and the sand of the sea. So it's innumerable. All right. So it's talking about being destroyed as a people. And when you read historically, it talks about us being forgotten and our history being taken and not remembering who we are, which is surely the state that we're in today, because so-called natives, Latin and blacks, maybe natives have a little bit more perspective, right? Like they've kept a little of their so-called traditions and they believe that that's their history. Okay. But when you really think about it, most by and large, when it comes to our people, nobody can really articulate what our history was before slavery.
Natives have been destroyed because, although they subscribe to the white man being the devil, you know, they love that history.
Yeah.
But within the native community, there's like 500 different tribes. And if you misquote one of them and call them Apache or Cherokee and they're Navajo instead, then they get real offended by that.
Hey, they're just as equally destroyed because, you know, out here in Arizona, there's plenty of reservations around us. Oftentimes you might have to drive through one to get somewhere. And I see Indian Presbyterian Church, St. John's Indian School Church,
Mormonism.
So, you know, the whole, you know, your topic on Wednesday with the religion very heavily applies to that, because you would think that a lot of them wouldn't want the Bible because the way, you know, the white colonists came here and used it against them. They used it as their manifest destiny to do the things that they did to them. But just believe it or not, there are Christian denominational churches on these reservations, and some of them are devout Christians. Mm-hmm. And knowing how the twist, it's not even so much the book that should be the issue, but in the way it was brought to them, that's the same way they're worshiping it to this day under those denominations, which is kind of the same issue with our people when they earn these like Southern Baptists and all this stuff like that.
Right.
I mean, how do you shouldn't have an issue with the scriptures themselves, but rather the way they were used and the doctrine that they were used under to subject you, to subvert you, to put you into chains and to destroy your mind and spirit as a people. And yet, to this day, we have plenty of our people. I mean, I guess similar attributes. You know, it's just hard for me because what's happened to Gad, the so-called Native Americans, and Reuben, the Seminole Indians, Seminole Natives. I don't know. It should just be fresher in your mind. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's almost like it's super evident to this day the way they are on reservations and things like that. How very few of them are really around compared to the larger population that's here. So it always astounds me when I see that. But
what was interesting about that is that in school they teach you that the so-called Native Americans, this was our, you know, our land, right?
Right.
And they're living on reservations, but they don't see a problem with that. It's become normal for them. Just like it becomes normal for a lot of blacks and Hispanics that live in the project.
Yeah, and that's when you know a spirit is broken. Mm-hmm. When you accept your conditions and they become a normalcy for you, like you embrace them. You know, it's kind of like
that's that flea experiment.
It's like getting institutionalized. You know, people who have been locked up for a long time and they get freed and they're more scared of being outside than inside.
Yeah, it's crazy. Our people were killed and reduced to these projects and ghettos, but now they'll kill for the stoop. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's
that same filth. Yep.
I don't know, man. I always think of that scripture in Daniel, man, where they say like, you know, because some people try to say, well, there were other nations that went into captivity and, you know, that they were slaves at different times and this and that. But the Bible clearly states, man, that what's happened to us, there's nothing like it that's happened to anybody ever in the course of history.
And you know what one significant thing is that's happened to us? Because let's give it to those that say other nations were slaves. Let's say that. Well, first of all, a lot of them were indentured servants. They got a salary. They were able to get home. They weren't split up from their families.
Right.
But even more importantly, every single one of those, because you see, like the Japanese, pretty recent, right? They came to California. They were treated like messed up, right? Or Chinese or whoever.
Right.
They were indentured servants. Japanese and Chinese still know that they're Japanese and Chinese.
Right, right. The word the Bible uses is discontinue from your heritage.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Those other nations never got it to the point where they discontinued from their heritage.
No, they've kept their heritage.
Yes. Versus us, where we're everything but what we really are.
And you can't say, you can't use the argument, oh, well, you are. Are you following American customs? No. Because this was never our customs. Okay? You understand what I'm saying?
No,
this,
of course.
This
of course.
Was never, because they're trying to say, oh, well, you know, you guys are Americans. No.
What was easy?
We're American citizens.
All we did was adopt these customs because that's all we knew.
Or even then, denizens, right?
Right. We really want to get down to dirty.
That could be another topic for another day. We could talk about denizens, that a little bit, all right? Just because we've been taught that as a body, there's a lot of people listening that don't and have not. So, you know, anything and everything's on the table, man. I think we got material for years if need be. I mean, we could do a daily show and probably not run out of stuff.
No,
you know?
Definitely not.
But let me get back to this real quick. I'll make my point and then we continue on with this discussion. So good. Read that again from the top.
Deuteronomy 28 and verse 45. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee and overtake thee till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God.
So he's telling you why. Okay, all these curses were going to come upon us and pursue us and overtake us. Go ahead.
To keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee, and they shall be upon thee.
And they shall be upon thee, and the they is talking about these curses. That's the subject matter here. We're talking about the curses still. So he says, and they, these curses, shall be upon you, Israel. Go ahead.
For a sign And for a wonder.
For a sign and for a wonder. A sign is to show you the way to something. A wonder, that's deep, a wonder when you deal with that. A wonder that we able even to survive the atrocities that were done to us. A wonder that, you know, to this day, that there's still that hope of salvation that the Lord promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and by extension, the 12 tribes. They would be upon us for us to know who we were, so that in these last days, even with all this crafty counsel, like in Psalms 83, all right, where they consulted against the hidden ones. That's why the scripture says the hidden ones. Why are they hidden? Because that means in these last days, you would not know who they are.
Right.
And when something's hidden and you try to bring it to light, people are against it. It's kind of like, I'll give you a worldly example, and then I'll give you a historical. I was watching when it came out, the horrible, horrible Iron Fist on Netflix. Okay. I can't say enough how bad that show was. Listen, they really messed up with that one. But anyway, it was one of those where it's like I got to the point of no return, where it's like I kept waiting for it to get better. And I was like, well, crap, I've invested this many hours. Like, I got to finish and see what the hell's going on. But anyway, I would probably say for the vast majority of the first season, right, I don't know if it was like 10, 12, 13 episodes, something like that, but like 5, 6 episodes in, this guy had disappeared. Supposedly him and his parents died in a plane crash, the story goes in you know, the comics and in the show. And then he got saved by some monks and trained in like the mystical arts, and he was the Iron Fist, okay? So he was like supposedly a kung fu master. But everybody thought he was dead for years. So he comes back to the United States, and he's trying to reclaim his identity. Spiritual undertones, huh? So he's trying to – see, it's not a waste, bro. You got spiritual eyes.
Right.
You got to watch with your spiritual eyes.
Sounds pretty good, actually.
So, well, in that respect, you can probably glean something from it. But
right.
Just the fighting was terrible, bro. It was, like, so terrible. He was horrible. He was horrible. But he was trying to reclaim his identity, and nobody believed him. Oh, no, he died. He died, right? Just like the lost tribes, or no,
right.
You know, we've moved on. This is the narrative, all right? That's another key word that apologists use, by the way,
mm-hmm.
Narrative,
mm-hmm.
Okay? Like they all have their lingo,
mm-hmm.
like that gives them away when they try to come in disguise, okay? This is the narrative, basically, that's here now. Like, you can't be this guy. And, you know, he was able to bring forth certain types of proof, but obviously no ID, different things like that. There was no trace of him genetically, whatever. Later on, they found something with a fingerprint, and that was his proof or whatever. So he was able to be brought back to life. But the point is, nobody wanted to believe it. All right. But he had to look for what? Certain signs and certain things,
mm-hmm.
till he found this thing from his childhood that this chick had given him. That was now in charge of his father's company, and it had his thumbprint on it because he had crafted it, like, I don't know, something like he had made it for her or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was like a clay thing. I'm messing it up. But the point is, it's very similar with us, right? To this day, people try to say, no, it's not true. So now let me give you my historical thing. This is what the curses are for. They're for a sign and for a wonder for us to remember who we are. So you got to ask yourself, who did these things happen to? Right. And I'm going to get to the point of their point of contention, which really is invalid when you think about it, based on these verses here.
Can I bring up something real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
When you read in the New Testament, in the book of John 14, Christ said that I won't leave you comfortless.
Right.
There's going to come a point in time when you guys are going to start waking up who you are. And when you read in Romans 15, it says that it's the scriptures that give us comfort and hope. So we can come to the curses and be comforted in the fact of knowing that we are the Israelites because we went through these curses.
Right. And that's also part of that wonder.
Right.
All right.
Exactly.
That it talks about when it says signs and wonder. So that's a real good point. So the other part historically is that if the scripture calls us the hidden ones, and they say that these curses is what would be needed as a sign and a wonder for us basically to remember, then how is it that the narrative that's crafted today, that the so-called Jews that are in Israel, what they call Israel today, because even that's not bounded properly,
right,
contextually from the scriptures, okay? But the piece of land that was part of Israel historically at one point, and what they're calling Israel today, and the people that live there, the Bible doesn't bear witness with them that they're the ones that were there. Why? Because of the Holocaust. The Holocaust doesn't talk about that.
Right.
You know, and that's one event. You got to look at this historically going throughout history, the different things that have happened. But the main thing is they've always maintained and knew who they were.
Right.
Even during those. So let's just say the Holocaust, without going into the whole blown out of proportion numbers of how many died and everything like that. They always maintained their so-called identity. So that invalidates their claim to being the children of the book.
Right.
Just based on that alone. You can go toe for toe with everything else if you wanted to, even though they can't. And the fact that they always maintained that they knew they were, there was never a point in history where they forgot who they were.
And that goes for every nation, because you ask Arabs, who's your forefather, they'll tell you Ishmael.
Right.
I've had conversations with them.
Right.
They know that.
Right.
Elam knows that Elam is their forefather.
Right.
I've had conversations with them.
Right. So.
And they know where the Israelites too, by the way.
So the point that I'm trying to make as we read this, now read that verse again.
Verse 46. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever.
It says they'll be upon thy seed forever. Now, it does not mean when it says upon thy seed forever, you're reading it in context from that verse, that all those curses would be applicable in modern times.
Right.
All right? It doesn't mean that. That's impossible, because we're not living in times like that. That's impossible under any measure for any people. So by their own argument, then they must invalidate the book if that's the rationale that they're doing. They should just throw away the whole Bible.
Right.
Because what nation of people are still under any of those curses today? And when I say under them, I mean actively engaged. So their whole premise on the different points that they go to in Deuteronomy 28 and try to break it down to try to stump you is that, for example, verse 36, I think, where it says the king that they'll set up. Because that happened in Babylon with Nebuchadnezzar, that means that that's it. That invalidates it. And because of what happened during the siege in Jerusalem, that when under the siege, we were eating each other for hunger, that because that happened already, that doesn't apply to us, because that never happened to us, supposedly. But again, they're operating from the premise of who do they believe to be the Jews today, and they don't subscribe that to us. So the point is, you have to look at the whole curses. And on top of that, when you read this verse about the signs and a wonder and upon thy seed forever, the sign and the wonder is that this would be there as the way to show our way back. Just like I used in the analogy of Iron Fist. Mm-hmm. And he couldn't find anything to bring himself back to life, so to speak, right? But it's when you think about it that way, you know our history is mm-hmm. spiritual, all right? The flesh was upon the bone, but the spirit of life wasn't breathing into them. And the spirit of life came from him finding that one fingerprint. So these curses are like our fingerprints. These curses are like our so-called the DNA that's lacking to prove who we are by all modern so-called scientific methods. So the Lord left these things. He left this comfort, spoke about, like Christ said,
mm-hmm.
for us. So that when you read these curses, and in addition you read 2 Ezra 13, 40 on down, plus many other scriptures, all right? It's not just that. You got the prophecies in Genesis 49, Deuteronomy 33, okay?
Lamentations
mm-hmm. 5, okay? So their whole argument and their whole thing, which is why it's such a waste of time. So he was like, you just don't want to talk to me. You don't want to answer my questions because it doesn't fit your narrative. I said, no. I said, actually, I spent 20 minutes with you trying to deal with you like a brother, and you were very deceptive in the way you came out of here, and you wasted my time. I said, if you want to debate something, come on down to one of our camps and debate. I said, what's this private thing? I said, listen, maybe you're trying to record the call so you can get some views, so it sounds, you can edit it and chop it however you want and make it seem like we're stumped. I said, you can do all that. I said, your hand's not going to be able to come against the Lord. I said, if God is for us, there's nothing that could be against us. I said, you can do whatever you want. No, I'm not doing this for you. I said, so come down to the camp. I said, because the problem is I'm not going to stay here on the phone with you and waste my time. It's because you guys don't really believe the Bible.
Right.
I said, so I can't debate or try to reason with somebody that this is not meant for and that doesn't believe its context. So it's like trying to bring the truth to somebody that's persuaded in his own mind that he's an atheist, or that he's a Buddhist or whatever. And I'm not saying that if it's not ordained of the Lord that somebody can't come out of that. But there has to be a genuine interest on that individual's part. I have never seen anybody that we've contended with, that we've tried to convince them as a gainsayer with sound doctrine, that didn't come back to their heritage of their own volition. We don't persuade anybody to do that. We don't. And that's what they think that we're doing. We don't persuade anybody. There's something in their spirit that has asked them. It's like the Matrix, where he says, the burning question in your mind that you've always had. You know something's not right.
That's
what
why
is
it
the
says
Matrix?
The spirit bears witness with our spirit.
Right.
That's what it is.
Right. And I was thinking of that. And I was thinking of that too.
And what it comes down to is, like you said, Kat, they just really don't believe this book. Right. And that's what it comes down to.
Right.
Because in Acts 5, it says, if it be of man, then it's going to be overthrown. But if it be of God, then no one can overthrow it. That's why you don't see us chasing anybody for debates or for views or anything like that, because we understand that if what they're teaching is off, then the Most High is going to reveal it. We can sit back and let the Most High intervene.
Right, right. And, you know, it's like it's foolish. It's striving in things that are unprofitable. Okay. Our job is not to convince, but rather just to spread the word, and the Lord does the rest. We plant, all right, with some of us water, and then God gives the increase,
right,
like the scripture says. It's God that gives the increase. So there's no need, there's no reason to get in those type of debates and waste time like that, because while I'm wasting time with you, which you're never going to see it because you're reprobate. You can't contend with a reprobate mind. That's why the scripture says after the first and second admonition of a heretic, you got to reject, because there's nothing to be gained from that. A reprobate mind will not be converted. It will not be changed. It can't. It doesn't function that way. You can't deal with them spiritually, logically, or rationally. And those minds that are caught up in all that nonsense are reprobate minds. They want things to fit their narrative, because you know what? At the end of the day, what it really boils down to, right? And this is oversimplifying it because there's a lot of underlying things, but it's really the root of it, right? When I was in the military, I worked on fuel systems on the aircraft, and there was two ways we fixed those things. When it was a quick thing and a quick turnaround, we patched the leak. But if you know anything about any type of fluid, it flows to its lowest point. So the leak point is not the source. So when we had time, we would go to the source and fix it. So there's a lot of problems that happen along the way, and there's a lot of issues with these so-called apologists and other groups that come along the way. But the real source of all the issues and why they don't contend with this is because it doesn't fit their narrative of being able to commit sin.
That's exactly what
And being able to not keep the laws. If you preach it, because I would almost gander, we were of the mind of Christianity and the Bible. And if the Bible was like that, we would preach that.
Mm-hmm.
And we would say, hey, Christ died and did away with the law, but it's still pretty clear that we're the Israelites,
mm-hmm,
and that he's only for us. They would probably be on board with that. It really boils down to the being able to be lovers of themselves more than anything else.
Here's what it boils down to. Give me Revelation 7. Here's what it boils down to at the end of the day. And this is what they know, because they know the New Testament. They know the New Testament. They know the book of Revelation.
Before you get that, real quick, because this was on this vein, Titus 3 and 9, real quick. Just get me that. As a matter of fact, I'll read it. Don't worry about it. Go to his. So Titus 3 and 9, it says, but avoid foolish questions. So it's a commandment in the scriptures to avoid foolish questions. So when we get stupid phone calls and stupid things, all right, it says avoid foolish questions and genealogies, all right, discussions, because some people try to get deep. Listen, you are what your father is. Anything else out of that, your spirit beareth witness, okay? And contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. So no, all right, that's not why we don't like to deal and answer questions and do debates, because it doesn't fit our narrative. It's because the Bible says it's unprofitable and vain. There's no point to doing anything like that. Go ahead, Bill. 516-531-9797, 516-531-9797. You can call in and give your questions, and we won't debate with you, but we'll take your question. We will more than likely deal with it. I think that's the best I can say. We will deal
right
with it. I'm not going to necessarily say that we will answer it, because some people come with some wild stuff. But we will deal with your question. We will deal with all questions. All right? 516-531-9797. Go ahead, Cap.
Yeah, so here's the bottom line why I even lost my train of thought.
Well, here, let me just bring it out, and then maybe it will come back to you. All right? The book of Revelation, chapter 7, verse 3, saying, "Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads."
All right, so at the end of the day, this is what they fear. Read that again.
Saying, "Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of God in their foreheads."
Okay, so this is in the book of Revelation. So obviously, this has to occur, and obviously, it has not occurred yet. Okay, because this is talking about when Christ is going to return. When is he going to return? Read on.
"And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel."
Okay, so until all 12,000 from each tribe, 12 times 12, okay, 144,000, all right, are sealed with what? The law, statutes, and commandments. And as it says in 1 Kings 8:46 through 49, I believe it is, all right, until we bethink ourselves, meaning remember who we were, okay? Again, Captain Joshua brought it out. Fake Jews out in Israel, in our land, okay, or in part of our land, okay, when you think about it, it's just a smith. That's not the real Israel when you read the Bible, okay? It goes much more expansive than that. They know who they are. Why do they have to be, if this is pertaining to them, why do they have to be sealed with anything?
Right.
Right. They're supposedly they're keeping the laws now, right? Supposedly they know who they are, right? But interestingly enough, as we read down, they mysteriously, the other tribes got lost. And the only one that survived was Judah, because it happens to mean Jew. A Jew means Judah for short.
Well, you know what? I actually met one, a fake Jew, that told me that he was from the tribe of Levi, you know, which he meant Levi, but. That was the first Amalek I've ever heard not say Judah.
So then that's a lie then, because supposedly then all the other tribes were lost but Judah.
Well,
so
then
even that person saying that.
Hey, yeah, and I've met some that when in New York when you have conversations and they're like, "Oh, yeah, I'm from Ephraim," and I'm like.
But then again, that disputes the main point is that they're lost. That they're lost. So there's no way you could possibly know them, but. Go ahead.
Verse.
And your pastor's never going to read this in church, that's for sure, because Christ is never going to come back, or the quote-unquote rapture, which you're never going to find in the Bible, the word rapture, is never going to take place unless this takes place.
Verse 5. "Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000, and of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Naphtali were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. And of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000.
So now my question is where are all those people at today? This is the book of Revelation, the last book, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yes, Revelation, because that's another thing they like to say. It's not Revelations. Okay, that's what is it? Esau White likes to say.
James Esau.
James Esau likes to say. Yeah, we know it's not Revelations. Okay, you know that's all mockery that they try to do. You know, I mean.
That's a form of attacking your character,
right?
To discredit you.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes, we can read very clear. A lot of us are very educated, and we know it's singular, not plural. Okay.
I like saying Revelations.
Well, actually, I like it
because guess what? There's several revelations in the
book of
Revelation.
I was just going to say that.
I like saying that.
Yeah, because there's a lot in the book of Revelation. There's a lot of revelations.
I like that. So guess what? Because it bothers him so much, I'm going to keep saying it that way.
Right. Exactly. So again, at the end of the day, nothing is going to happen. Read three again.
Revelation 7 verse 3. Saying, "Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads."
All right, so now, even if you don't know it, then you got to ask yourself, okay, well, wait, does that mean there's some tribulation and some turmoil that's going to come to the earth? Right? You got to start asking yourself, what could that possibly be? Okay, so the Christians know that as the rapture. They know that as the second coming of Christ, the black Messiah, right? But after that, okay, the only way that that's going to happen, this has to happen first, what we just went over.
Right.
So the question is, again, in order for it to happen, and a lot of Christians, you see them on the internet and everything saying, oh, the last days are here, the last days are here. This has to happen first. These tribes need to be recognized. People need to be associated with these tribes.
It doesn't say, and of East Indians, 12,000, and of Africans, 12,000.
No, it's very clear that it's right. Only the 12 tribes of Israel have to be sealed with that. Okay? So you got to ask yourself, they need to be sealed with the law, right? But the fake Jews that are over there now, they claim they're already sealed with the law. They claim they're already chosen. They claim they're already back in their land.
And there's definitely 144,000 of them.
Oh,
definitely.
Definitely. Oh, wait a minute. They claim 6 million of them were killed in the Holocaust, right? Supposedly, right? So it's just, you know what? It's irrefutable, the facts that we bring out according to the Bible. It's irrefutable. No matter where you try to go, you could play semantics all you want. You could try to tippy-toe around the issue. Guess what? So-called blacks, Hispanic, Native Americans, we're the Israelites. We're the ones that fit the curses, Deuteronomy 28, in Lamentations 5, in the book of Hosea, in the book of Deuteronomy 33. Do I need to go on? And Genesis 49. Do I need to go on? There's plenty.
And Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21.
Okay, how about that? All right, from Genesis to Revelation. Okay, no other nation has gone through what the people called Israel, mentioned 2,847 times. Okay, all right.
I was going to steal your thunder and say that.
All right. All right.
But I said he's building up to it. He's building up to it.
Which that alone should also bring you some questions to your mind. Why is this one nation so prominent in this book?
Right.
Why is everything only for them? Okay. Why is anything only for them? All right. Another thing. Okay. If they're the ones that are chosen, if that's the real Jews over there, they don't even believe in Christ returning.
Right.
They don't even believe in that.
It's cooking with gas today.
Okay? At all. So if you don't believe in that, so it just, these are questions that blacks, Hispanic, Native Americans, you need to ask yourself, because this is the audience that we're reaching out to. Okay? This is why we are here every Sabbath. All right? The real Sabbath. Friday night to Saturday night at dark. Okay? Dark to dark. The real Sabbath, not Sunday. Okay? Like Christianity teaches. We are here to open up your minds. Because again, read three again. This is part of everything that we're doing on the show. This is part of everything that IUIC does. This is our mission right here, verse 3.
Revelation 7, verse 3, saying, heard not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads.
Till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Now, who are the servants? Give me that in Leviticus. Okay, you know where I'm going? 24. All right. Who are the servants? Because it's very clear. The Bible is very, very clear. I think it's 25:44, I believe it is, or 24, or the other way around in Leviticus. Who are the servants? All right, because it's very clear. It specifies that these 12 tribes, they're servants. They're servants. All right.
25:55.
25:55. There you go. 25:55. Yes, sir. Thank you.
The book of Leviticus, chapter 25, verse 55. For unto me, the children of Israel are servants.
Go ahead.
They are my servants whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God.
Read three again in Revelation, please. So we know who the servants are. That's clear there, right? There's no disputing that. The children of Israel are servants. Okay? And not only are they servants, they are my servants whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So in that scripture there, it's telling you who's talking and who he's talking about. Because Christians like to say, oh, well, we're all servants or we're all saints. No.
And then we'll get that next in the New Testament.
Oh, sure. But go ahead. Go back to three. All right. So we went here for servants. Go ahead.
Revelation 7, verse 3, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads.
The servants, the children of Israel, as we read in Leviticus 25:44, our God, the same God that say who his servants are in Leviticus 25:44. Go ahead. You got something?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Romans 9, verse 3. For I wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God and the promises.
So I didn't see anything in there about any every nation.
No, sir.
And that is the New Testament, right?
Yep, the book of Romans 9.
And that is Paul speaking there, right?
And Christians love to run to the writings of Paul.
Oh, they sure do. Okay. All right. So that right off the bat, that rules out, without even just a layman, okay, rules out that the Gentiles could be saved. Okay. Right there rules out. And we could go into that too. That's another thing. But we got many scriptures to prove who the real Gentiles are and how we were once called. Right now, you blacks and Spanish Native Americans that don't know your true nationality, that call yourself Puerto Rican, that call yourself African American, Jamaican, okay, Haitian, Mexican, Cuban, y'all in a Gentile state of mind. That's all that means. Basically, you're equivalent to what the Israelites were during the Greek period. You were Hellenized. Okay, now what you are, you're Americanized. It's the same difference, the same thing. Drop the mic.
No, I'm going to be you this week.
You know? So you
must have had a good week, bro.
It's funny because
it's just, you know what, when I hear nonsense, like, you know, like I mentioned earlier, you know, with that, you know, we Satan's trying hard, man.
Yeah, I would have loved to have heard you take that call. Like, and then you get to that point where you realize where he's going.
my phone's been blowing up. You know that, right?
Yep.
I've been getting that number. I've been getting the calls from that same number.
Yep.
And you know what? I was tempted yesterday, but you know what? I got other things to do. You know what? I got other things to do. I got to build my nation. I ain't got time to waste time with, even if you are an Israelite and you don't realize it, I ain't got time to deal with you, because you know what? All you are is a deterrent, and no one's going to deter me or none of us here.
Well, Titus,
to build this
it
nation.
Says it's unprofitable and vain to debate stuff.
I got time.
And people that are sincere, all right, I want to be clear. If you call in and you're sincere, and I'm not talking about the show, you could call in even with your nonsense if you wanted the show.
Right.
That's fine.
Right.
But when we talk about when you call online to contact one of our camps, you know, don't waste people's time. Call if you're sincere and you got sincere questions. Because guess what, man? There's so much videos. There's so many teachers. You don't need to call to get a personal class for an hour on the phone.
No, you don't.
We got to go back to doing it like when we first got in. Okay, do you know you're Israel?
Right.
You know that? No? Okay, go watch this and then call me back.
And call me back. That's
what happened to me.
Yeah. At the end of the day, I know, you know what? I don't want to sound pompous, okay? But I'm confident, okay? With all the years I've been in this truth, you're not going to stump us. Nothing that you try to bring to us, the Bible's a plain book. It's just, okay, not plain to you because you're wicked as hell. Number one, if you're from the other nations, it ain't for you, okay? And if you are an Israelite, okay, calling that don't believe that you're an Israelite, that you try to stump us, man, we got so many scripts, man. You know, we're educated, man, in this Bible, man. You see, all praises to the Most High that he's opened up our understanding like that. You ain't going to stump us, okay? In fact, you're going to leave with your tail between your legs. Trust me. And I'm not saying that as a threat or anything like that. We're confident because we know who we are, okay? And we know that we're the people of this book. So there's no two ways about it. So it's like one of those, you know, like let's take a worldly example. You know, you're being accused of something and you know you didn't really do it. So why defend yourself?
Right. It's not being pompous. It's just that you are confident that you fully understand Psalms 111, verse 10. That you have that good understanding because it started with the fear of the Lord.
Yeah, it don't get more basic than that.
It says if the gospel was hid, then it's hid to them or lost. We understand that good is set against evil. There has to be a balance, and then there has to be a two-thirds club, all right? Only one-third of the nation of Israel, which is you so-called natives, Hispanics, and blacks, are going to make it to the kingdom of heaven. Now come back to your heritage. We understand that. So when people come and try to bring strife and debate, it's unprofitable because we understand that two-thirds of our people have to die anyways.
See, that's good fodder. That's all that is. All that is fodder, okay? But we ain't dealing with fodder. You know what we're dealing with? We're dealing with building our nation. That's what's important to me and every single man that's here in this room today and every single person that's about this truth. We're about rebuilding our nation the right way. We ain't got time for that. You know what? When Nehemiah was building a wall, the heathen, they tried that, man. Mm-hmm. You see, what you're doing, let me tell you what you people are doing that try to go ahead and debate us. You're just trying to prevent the wall from being built. But guess what? The wall was built and it's going to be built.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to be put back in our rightful place of rulership. You put all that fodder all you want. That's all that is. It's just, you know, you make may have some weaknesses that may flow into that tribe. You think we'll land here? It happens. You know what? That's the end of that discussion. I ain't got nothing more to say to them behind.
The spiritual aspect is the wall represents the nation of Israel. That's what we're building right now. But the physical walls of the kingdom, you heathen are going to have a good time building that up for us.
Yeah. Yep. And trying to look over at what's going on in there.
Right, right. 516-531-9797. 516-531-9797 is the call-in number. It's the Native Latin and Black Lost History Show. www.
Never gets old.
Oh, man. So I want to read this article. It says, President Trump introduced legislation today with Senators Tom Cotton and David Perdue aimed at cutting legal immigration to the United States. So they're trying to cut legal immigration into the United States. And, hey, I'm not actually against that in general, right? Because we have things like that.
Right.
They're going to come visit us, these other nations, when we're in rulership, but we don't want them all coming, you know, living in our land, taking up space.
Breathing up all the white man's air.
Breathing up all the black man's air. All right. So there ain't nothing really wrong with that approach. But I'm going to tell you scripturally, when we get to it, what the issue I have with this type of stuff is. And, I mean, the main reason is because, bro, this wasn't your land anyway. Like,
right.
like we allowed you to immigrate here, and you took this joint like there weren't anybody here. Like, it was just
identity,
like,
true immigrants.
Yeah. The bill, a revised version of an immigration reform bill introduced in February, would change the system for granting legal residency or green cards by giving priority to high-skilled English-speaking immigrants. This competitive application process will favor applicants who can speak English, financially support themselves and their families, and demonstrate skills that will contribute to our economy, Trump said today at the White House alongside Cotton and Perdue.
Can't make it up.
Listen. There's so many things wrong with this. Let's just take the English piece out. You know this is targeted at Mexicans mainly.
Absolutely.
Right? Yep. But let's just take the English piece out. Financially support themselves and their families. When Mexican immigrants come here, do they not do that?
Very well.
Very well.
Very well.
With the bullshit wages part of my life. Well, you know what? We're not answered. With the bullshit wages, okay, that they get, all right? And demonstrate skills that will contribute to our economy.
They are very skillful.
Bro, they cook all the food. They do all the construction. They do all the renovations.
They paint.
They do the farming.
They
work in the factories that package your goods. I mean, are you kidding me? Because Americans don't want those jobs.
Right.
Show me an American that's going to work the life of a farmer the way these guys work. And I'm saying there might be some, but I'm just talking about as a people, all right? And mainly the ones who are complaining about immigrants.
For hours a day, for pennies.
Come on, man.
Hey, these roads here in Arizona alone, I see a lot of Mexicans building them up and doing construction.
So what are they talking about? That they're only going to allow, like, engineers and doctors in?
Good luck with that.
Doctors don't want to come and freaking work in this medical system that we got, this jacked up healthcare system we got here. Like, what are they saying? Skills that contribute to our economy. Like, are you kidding me? Trump, who promised during his election campaign to reform the immigration system, argued that the bill called the Reforming American Immigration for Strong Employment Act, the RAISE Act, they're raising the bar, would replace our low-skilled immigration system with a points-based system. They are not going to come in and immediately go and collect welfare. Bro, you can't do that. You know how hard it is to get welfare? I know, because I was on welfare all my life as a kid. You know how hard it is to get welfare, bro. It's not easy.
Yeah, they put you through a ringer, bro.
Which is fine. They should, right?
Yeah.
Because you're trying to avoid, you know,
get
handouts.
Fraud,
I pay taxes. I don't mind paying taxes so long as it's putting good to good use. All right? I pay taxes. All right? Come on, man. They do not come here with no freaking papers and get on welfare
Wait a minute. There was just a big scandal in New York alone that the biggest contributors and the biggest abusers of welfare are the fake Jews.
Yes.
Are the Hasidics. They've just got arrested, a bunch of them.
Yes.
And that's been 80% of the people in New York.
I think they scammed like over $1 million over like the course of like, I don't know, 5 or 6 years.
They juiced that system. How come nobody says anything to them?
And it was crazy.
And what do they contribute to society? I always see them with no job, walking around with the same clothes every day, and their family. They're always walking somewhere. You ever notice out in Brooklyn? They're always walking somewhere.
Yeah, but they have a closet full like that. They just don't have very variety.
I doubt that because according to the 13th tribe, they wear their clothes.
Some of them you see, like, you know, when like the salt stains, like people are salty sweaters. Yeah, you see that on their clothes. You know, that's like,
well, that's in their nature, man.
Under a 1996 welfare reform bill signed by President Clinton, legal immigrants are already barred from receiving government benefits for 5 years or longer. So you cannot just come here and get up. It's such a he said they're not going to come in and immediately go and collect welfare. You're damn right, you freaking clown. It's like, are you serious? Oh, my goodness. I mean, and listen, in fairness, I think all politicians on some level are clowns, right? So
but all of this is a dog and pony show, the whole politics.
Yes, that's why. The whole politics thing is a dog and pony show. So, but it's telling you in the next paragraph that Clinton put something in place 20 years ago that makes them wait 5 years or longer. So they do not come here and immediately go and collect welfare. Okay?
Fodder.
Fake news. Some exceptions include children and human trafficking victims who are allowed to collect certain benefits. The RAISE Act would establish a point-based system for issuing green cards and would give more points to people who are highly skilled, which Trump suggested would reduce the number of immigrants receiving government benefits. They're already reduced because none of them can get benefits for at least 5 years or more. For some people, they may think that's a symbol of America's virtue and generosity, Cotton said of the current immigration system. I think it's a symbol. We're not committed to working-class Americans. We need to change that.
Wow.
Make no mistake, this is targeted against you so-called Hispanics, all right?
Primarily,
okay? Yeah, listen, Esau operates, but it's going to affect Arabs and everybody else, anybody who's not American, yes. But this thing is lined up and set up to target y'all.
Those other nations, they get subsidies when they come here.
Right, they get business loans right off the bat,
right.
All these things.
Right. Trump, along the same line, said the new legislation would lead to higher pay for American workers and help ensure the newcomers to our wonderful country will be assimilated, will succeed, and will achieve the American dream.
The American nightmare.
According to the Department of Homeland Security, 1,051,031 immigrants gained permanent residency in the United States in 2015. It's unclear when the Senate may take up the new legislation. The initial immigration reform bill was opposed by some Republicans and business groups and has been stalled in the Senate. Senator Lindsey Graham has already criticized the measure, saying it would hurt his state's economy. Some immigration reform advocates also disagree with the idea that the RAISE Act will contribute to better wages. This bill slashes overall legal immigration by 50%, the biggest reductions in a century, which would severely harm the economy and actually depress wages for Americans, said Todd Shuttle, president of FWD.US, an immigration reform advocacy group founded by Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg and others in the tech industry. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce also expressed doubt that the RAISE Act would improve the employment landscape. The goal of moving to a more skills-based immigration system that meets the diverse needs of our economy is a good one, and one long championed by the chamber. Randy Johnson, senior vice president for labor, immigration, and employee benefits at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, said. But dramatically reducing overall immigration levels won't raise the standard of living for Americans. In fact, it will likely accomplish the opposite, making it harder for businesses, communities, and our overall economy to grow, prosper, and create jobs for American workers. So, like, you got all these experts saying, like, it's going to have the opposite effect. So this is what I'm saying. This is just – how is this not a racist agenda then? Like, why would you have these advisors tell you that it's not going to have the effect that you're saying? There has to be another way that you impose or do this thing. Bro, it's just set up to try to target our people. But other groups that want stricter immigration laws have expressed support for the new legislation. Numbers USA President Roy Beck said in a statement that the RAISE Act will do more than any other action to fulfill President Trump's promise as a candidate to create an immigration system that puts the interest on American workers first. Senator Perdue also rejected criticism of the proposed legislation. He said he does not believe the RAISE Act would unfairly discriminate against Latino workers. Notice Latino was not mentioned anywhere in the article until there, and he said it.
How they spelling RAISE?
Capital RAISE.
Okay.
All right. Some people think that we were probably spewing rhetoric up until that point. Mm-hmm. When I say this is targeted against you so-called Hispanics, out of the freaking senator's mouth, they got him quoted that he said, and nobody asked him. He just said it would unfairly discriminate against Latino. He said that it does not believe it would unfairly discriminate against Latino workers who accounted for 48.3% of the foreign-born labor force in 2016, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. 48.3%.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't see that that's well-founded at all. What this does is let everyone compete individually.
Bro, there's so many undertones and racism. Like Kevin said, there's subsidies and amenities that are offered to the other nations. Muhammad can come over and open up a 7-Eleven, but you'll never see Julio's lawn care surplus store opened up.
Chinsu will come.
Right.
And right away, they got their damn restaurant.
Hey, give me Lamentations 5:1. All right, so you can understand something and why we have an issue with this. All right, you need to wake up. And listen, we're not going to change it. We're not advocating for it to change at all because guess what? It's all of the Lord. If you truly believe in a higher power, then even when the guy you don't want is put into play, you have faith that that was of the Lord.
At the end of the day, we give glory to the Most High because of this, because it says, in your affliction, you will seek me early.
Right.
So you Hispanics do got to get afflicted to see that we are the same people going through the same exact thing.
Right, right. Go ahead, read that.
Lamentations chapter 5 and verse 1. Remember, O Lord, what has come upon us.
This is what we need to do as a people, man. We need to remember. You're being fed these narratives. They're trying to take out of the school system things like teaching what really happened with the slave trade. What do they want to call it?
The Great Migration. The Great Migration, yeah.
The Great Migration. They're trying to lessen it, all right? We need to constantly remember what has come upon us. Go ahead.
Remember, O Lord, what has come upon us. Consider and behold our reproach.
Consider and behold our reproach, all right? We're a reproach to these nations. I told you this whole article that we were reading, this new reform, is targeted against the so-called Hispanics, you so-called Mexicans primarily, but all Latinos. And what happened when we get to the end of the article? It's revealed that it was really targeted against Latinos.
Right.
All right? Go ahead, read on.
Our inheritance is turned to strangers.
This is the major issue. Our inheritance is this land's. What you know is the United States of America today belong to our fellow Native and Latin brothers and sisters, okay? The indigenous of this side of the world. And it's telling you our inheritance is turned to strangers. In what? In the slavery that happened, in the genocide that was done to our people, in the pushing of our Native brothers and sisters onto reservations, okay, in the conquering of the different lands by bloodshed, all right, was this accomplished by atrocities that nobody wants to talk about anymore. But, oh, let's never forget 9/11.
Right.
Let's never forget the Holocaust, and let's do movies about that. Let's talk about all that. But right away, someone wants to bring to light a movie about the most atrocious thing that this country was founded on, and it gets problems with being pushed. It gets problems with being mainstream. Mm-hmm. They try to personally attack as a tactic, though, because what happened when Nat Turner was coming out with his movie? They try to personally attack him
right off
of an old case that he was never tried on, okay, to try to discredit what was coming out.
Brother got no funding for his movie. He had to fund everything himself.
None. Everybody was afraid. He said he even went to brothers and sisters that were and when I say brothers and sisters, I mean brothers and sisters that were Jake, that were Native, Latin, or Black, okay? And that were well-to-do, that had money, and they were like, nah, man, I can't put my name on that.
Right.
I can't put my name on that because they know their whole personal thing would be destroyed. They all operate under an agenda. Listen, just because they're wealthy doesn't mean they're free. They have limits to what they stuff. Hey, Jay-Z got the song out now, Still Nigga.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And everybody mad at him over that song. Well, mainly for the one line, because he said the Jews own all the real estate.
Right.
Okay. And he didn't even say it in a negative. He's saying
I'm
it positive.
Black, I'm OJ.
He's
okay.
Rich nigga, poor nigga. Black nigga.
Right.
Bro, that song is heavy, man. And the imagery, when you watch the video, that thing is heavy.
You know why that's heavy? Especially now with what's going on with Colin Kaepernick. Okay, because that's a topic, too.
All right, we got a caller. Hang on a second. Let me try to make sure I cue this up. Hang on. Hello, caller. You're on the Native Latin and Black Laws History Show.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. How you doing?
Good, good, good. What's your name?
My name is Michael.
Hey, Michael. What can we do for you? Do you have a question or a comment?
Yeah, I just wanted to sort of touch on the point that you just brought up now when you talked about, you brought up the the atrocities that the Europeans did in North America and South America as well. If you talked about genocide and enslaving people and killing people and conquering and taking the land, right? And you brought those
correct.
Up, if I'm not mistaken. So you brought that up as an objection to the Europeans, like that's like they were wrong for that type of thing.
Well, we're reading it in the context of the scriptures and how this land was once natives, Latins, okay? And the Bible is telling you that our inheritance would be turned to strangers. So we're called the illegal aliens today, but the original illegal aliens are those so-called Europeans that came over here and committed those atrocities to take the land, yes.
Okay, so in that same context of scripture, if we go to the book of Joshua, when the Israelites went into Canaan, let's remember what they did exactly. They killed everybody, men, women, and children. And those that they did that left, that actually stayed behind, like the Gibeonites, they went into slavery, and they had to serve them as slaves, remember? And so I'm just saying, if you're going to be critical of one, you have to be consistent. And you can't just pick and choose because maybe you were inconvenienced this time around when if you claim to be an Israelite, you did the exact same thing to other people.
Correct. And thank you for your call, brother. We'll deal with that right now. Thank you. So you're absolutely 110% correct. Mm-hmm. And that's not the only time that we did mm-hmm. those things. Mm-hmm. But guess what the difference is and what makes them atrocities and what doesn't? That was ordained of the Lord, and we were commanded to do so by the Lord.
Yes,
you want
right.
you got something? You want
yeah,
to read
yes,
something?
Sir.
Go ahead.
This is the book of Leviticus 25, verse 44. Both thy bondmaid and thy bondmaids, which thou have, shall be of the heathen that are round about you, and of them shall ye buy as bondmen and bondmaids. Moreover, of the children of the strangers that do sojourn among you, of them shall ye buy of their families and that are with you, which they begot in your land, and they shall be your possession. And ye shall take them as an inheritance for your children after you, to inherit them for a possession. They shall be your bondmen forever.
They shall be our bondmen forever.
Thus saith the
forever.
Lord.
Forever. Thus saith the Lord.
Thus saith the Lord.
So the difference is, mm-hmm. well, you don't get critical when it's ordained of the Lord. All right? So we operate from the context of we deal with the higher power. All right? And if something is ordained of God, it's ordained of God. So now going back to Lamentations, okay, when you read in Lamentations 5, it's telling you what was done as an atrocity to us as the Israelites, because guess what? That wasn't ordained of God as far as commanding those people to do that.
Right.
That was something that was a punishment under the curses. But the whole point, see, this we understand. This we understand. The whole point of us bringing that out is to bring back to remember it. So read verse 1 again, all right, so we can get the point. Because what happens is a lot of people like to operate under that whole American concept and mindset of what? Oh, let's do that inclusivity, the illusion of inclusion, all right, the illusion of it, because it's not really valid and not from the context of the scriptures. Our mind is going to be of the Lord's mind. All right, go ahead, read.
Lamentations chapter 5, verse 1. Remember, O Lord, what is come upon us. Consider and behold our reproach. Our inheritance.
So it says, remember, O Lord, what has come upon us. This is a petition to the Lord, okay? We need to remember. The other scripture in Kings tells us we have to bethink ourselves, okay? Which means what? To remember who we are. Go ahead, continue.
Our inheritance is turned to strangers. Our houses to aliens.
Our inheritance is turned to strangers. Our houses to aliens. The difference is, it was ordained of us to do the things we did historically throughout the whole scriptures. It was not ordained for these people to do the atrocities that they did, all right? This was only done after the fact and allowed to happen to us because we turned away from the Lord God,
right,
like we read earlier in the show when we started in Deuteronomy. You got something you want to bring up?
Yeah, I do, because at the end of the day, it was, number one, ordained by the Most High God. But there's a reason why it was ordained the Most High God, because at the end of the day, from Genesis all the way to Revelation, Blacks, Hispanic, Native Americans, who are the Israelites, were always God's chosen. And everything, the earth, the universe, everything was created for our sakes, and I'm going to prove it in the Bible. Get me 2 Ezra 6. Okay?
And what verse?
And you know what? Let's start from 53 on down.
The book of 2 Ezra, chapter 6, and verse 53.
Okay, this is the Most High God, okay, Most High God revealing to Ezra, all right? The prophet Ezra. Go ahead.
Upon the sixth day, thou gavest commandments unto the earth, that before thee it should bring forth beasts, cattle, and creeping things.
All right, so he's breaking down, going back to the book of Genesis, is why I mentioned from the beginning we were always his chosen. Okay, go ahead.
And after these, Adam also, whom thou madest Lord of all thy creatures, of him come we all, and the people also whom thou hast chosen.
So right here is making a distinction of Adam come we all, meaning the Israelites, okay? And then he makes a distinction, and the people also whom thou hast chosen. Go ahead. Go ahead.
All this have I spoken before thee, O Lord, because thou madest the world for our sakes.
Okay, our is a possessive pronoun, okay, which means it's one person's, one nation's. Go ahead.
As for the other people,
and if you didn't believe that that's true, there's the separation right there, the distinction. Go ahead.
Which also come of Adam. Thou hast said that they are nothing, but be like unto spittle, and has likened the abundance of them unto a drop that falleth from a vessel.
Why? Because, again, the analogy, all right? You're walking around with a bucket of water. If one drop falls out of that bucket, it don't make no difference one way or the other. Even the nations are spit. Okay, go ahead.
And now, O Lord, behold, these heathen, which have ever been reputed as nothing.
So the other nations, which is what heathen means, were always what?
Reputed as nothing.
That reputed means, the root word is reputation. Your reputation was always nothing with the Most High God. Go ahead.
And have begun to be lords over us and right. to devour us.
All right. And became to be lords over us and devour us. That's going back to what Captain Joshua was talking about.
Right.
Okay. Go ahead.
But we, thy people, whom thou hast called thy firstborn, thy only begotten, and thy fervent lover, are given into their hands.
Wow, those are some strong adjectives. Firstborn, only begotten, fervent lover. It's not just a lover. You're a fervent lover. Go ahead.
And if the world now be made for sakes, why do we not possess an inheritance with the world? How long shall this endure?
How long shall this endure? Okay. So, yes, all those things were ordained by the Most High God. Matter of fact, let me show you why it was ordained. Give me Exodus 15 and 4. See, because the problem is that Christianity teaches that God, Christ are all hugs and kisses. No. That's not what the Bible says.
The book of Exodus, chapter 15, verse 3.
Stop right there. So why did we go ahead and do those things that the caller brought up? Here's the reason why.
The Lord is a man of war.
Woo! Man is a what? Lord is a man of what?
A man of war. The Lord is his name.
The Lord is his name. So, yes. We went and we killed everybody else because it was ordained by the Most High God. Why? Because all we were doing was taking back what was rightfully always ours from the book of Genesis all the way through Revelation.
Not even because we were taking it back, but because the authority, the one and only authority, the true authority, the Most High God, said to do so.
Mm-hmm. He said, go and take the land.
He said, go and take the land. All right. And you do it in whatever means possible.
Right.
All right. There was with Saul, and he told them, I want you to kill all of them. Mm-hmm. They're animal, everything. Kill them all.
As a matter of fact, wasn't it Jehoiakim? Because he didn't do what the Most High God said and killed the nations. Okay, we got jacked up.
It happened numerous times
where they didn't fulfill fully what the Lord has said,
and he got jacked up.
Yes,
Saul is the best example. He left the Amalekites, which are the fake Jews today.
Yes, he left the Amalekites. So the point is, see, and this is just another tactic, right? Because we were reading this in relation to the article with the new Trump immigration policy, and that's just a form of deflection because we're talking about and bringing to light history that's rarely spoken about. Okay, and they want to go and say, "Oh, in fairness, shouldn't you be talking about the atrocities that the Israelites did?" You know, if you say you're Israelites, actually, we do. We teach it historically because you should read the whole Bible. Mm-hmm. And guess what makes it different? That God said that was okay. And if you're of any form of a religious man, all right, or if you believe in any higher power, and you don't do what the higher power says, whether it fits your paradigm, the agenda of what the temperature of the world is and what they find socially acceptable or not today, and you don't do it, then guess what? You really don't believe in that power.
And if somebody leans on the thing of, well, I don't know, that doesn't sound right, blase, blase, Isaiah 55 says, your thoughts are not my thoughts and your ways are not my ways.
Right.
And if somebody says, oh, well, that was in the book of Second Ezra, give me Isaiah 40. Okay.
Because first of all, the Apocrypha was always part of the Bible. Okay, Apocrypha is a Latin word, means apocryphos, which just means hidden, secret things. Okay, which is why it was taken out by the Protestants. All right, but just in case you have any doubt, let's see if the most story changed in the Old Testament.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verse 15. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket. They are counted as small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity.
And where'd you read it out of?
The book of Isaiah in the 40th chapter.
All right. In the Old Testament.
Right, which is why we don't have to address that in all fairness. Because God said that was okay. All right? God said it was all right for us to do that. So there's no need for that. And again, how is that in the bigger scheme of everything that we're discussing, all right? How is that anything? Again, remember what we were talking about earlier, that they'll seek to try to attack character or other things, but still not address what they did? So, bro, come on, man. Come on. We appreciate the call, caller.
Yeah, we definitely appreciate the call.
No matter what it is, we appreciate the call.
But I ain't done.
Well, we're almost done, and I want to read something else. So I don't think we need to give that caller that much credence. I don't think that's necessary.
Not so much for the callers, for our people listening.
Yeah, well, God said one thing, mm-hmm. and God didn't see the other. I mean, that's really the end of the story for somebody like that. Because his whole premise was, how come we're not talking about those things? Oh, we do. And when we do, we talk about how great it was and how we had the power in our hand to do those things back then.
And how we can't wait to do it again.
Because guess what? We're going to do it again. All right. I wanted to bring something out, okay, because this goes to that same mindset, all right? There's an article I want to get to. We only have about 18 minutes left in the show, okay? I want to get to this. It's called The Good Racist People.
Mm.
The Good Racist People. Last month, and this really wasn't last month, this is an older article, March 6, 2013, and this is in the New York Times, you know, for those who esteem certain things like that. That's a pretty good publication, right?
Right.
Last month, the actor Forrest Whitaker was stopped in a Manhattan delicatessen by an employee. Whitaker is one of the preeminent actors of his generation, with a diverse and celebrated catalog ranging from The Great Debaters to The Crying Game to Ghost Dog, The Way of the Samurai. By now, it is likely that he has adjusted to random strangers who can't get his turn as Idi Amin out of their heads. That was a real good movie. Mm-hmm. The Last King of Scotland. He was crazy in that. But the man who approached the Oscar winner at the deli last month was in no mood for autographs. The employee stopped Whitaker, accused him of shoplifting, and then promptly frisked him. The act of self-deputization was futile. Whitaker had stolen nothing. On the contrary, he'd been robbed. The deli where Whitaker was harassed happens to be in my neighborhood. This is the author of the article. Columbia University is up the street. Broadway, the main drag, is dotted with nice restaurants and classy bars that cater to beautiful people. I like my neighborhood and patronize the deli with some regularity, often several times in a single day. I've sent my son and my steed. My wife would often trade smalls with whoever was working checkout. Last year, my beautiful niece visited. She loved the deli so much that I felt myself a sideshow. But it's understandable. It's a good deli. Since the Whitaker affair, I've read and listened to interviews with the owner of the establishment. He is apologetic to a fault and is sincerely mortified. He says that it was a sincere mistake made by a decent man who was just doing his job. I believe him. And yet for weeks now, I have walked up Broadway, glancing through its windows with a mood somewhere between Marvin Gaye's Distant Lover and Al Green's For the Good Times. In modern America, we believe racism to be the property of the uniquely villainous and morally deformed, the ideology of trolls, gorgons, and orcs. We believe this even when we are actually being racist. In 1957, neighbors in Levittown, PA, uniting under the flag of segregation, wrote, "As moral, religious, and law-abiding citizens, we feel that we are unprejudiced and undiscriminating in our wish to keep our community a closed community." So they were talking about segregation, which, you know, really under the Most High, that's a good thing, okay? It says, a half century later, little has changed. The comedian Michael Richards, Kramer on Seinfeld, once yelled at a black heckler from the stage, "He's a nigger, he's a nigger, he's a nigger." confronted about this, Richards apologized and then said, "I'm not a racist," and called the claim insane. The idea that racism lives in the heart of particularly evil individuals, as opposed to the heart of a democratic society, is reinforcing to anyone who might, from time to time, find their tongue sprinting ahead of their discretion. We can forgive Whitaker's assailant. Much harder to forgive is all that makes Whitaker stand out in the first place. New York is a city, like most in America, that bears the scars of redlining, blockbusting, and urban renewal. The ghost of those policies haunts us in a wealth gap between blacks and whites that has actually gotten worse over the past 20 years. But much worse, it haunts black people with a kind of invisible violence that is give and tell only when the victim happens to be an Oscar winner. That's true, because what type of attention would that have gotten if it was a banker or somebody else, or even if it was just a guy that got off his shift at the supermarket or right. was a stock boy, and he's a law-abiding American, okay, but he just happens to be black. The promise of America is that those who play by the rules, who observe the norms of the middle class, will be treated as such. But one of those norms is what? Oh, you don't talk about one thing if your people have been guilty of another. Get the hell out of here. But this injunction is only half enforced when it comes to black people, in large part because we were never meant to be part of the American story. We were never meant to be part of the American story. Remember that at its foundation of this country, we were never meant to be part of the American story. Forrest Whitaker fits that bill, and he was addressed as such. I'm trying to imagine a white president forced to show his papers at a national news conference and coming up blank. I'm trying to imagine a prominent white Harvard professor arrested for breaking into his own home because what was the guy's name that happened to?
I don't remember his name, but he was a African-American, you know, yes. so-called professor. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And coming up with nothing. I'm trying to see Sean Penn or Nicolas Cage being frisked at an upscale deli, and I find myself laughing in the dark because it won't happen. It won't happen. It is worth considering the message here. It says to black kids, don't leave home. They don't want you around. It is messaging propagated by moral people. The other day I walked past this particular deli. I believe its owners to be good people. I felt ashamed that withholding business for something far beyond a merchant's reach. I mentioned this to my wife. My wife is not like me. When she was six, a little white boy called her cousin a nigger, and it has been war ever since. What if they did that to your son, she asked. And right then I knew that I was tired of good people, that I had all the good people I could take. Racism is alive and well in this country and in the world. And that would be another sign for us, mm-hmm. for our people, okay, as part of the curses. And it's high time that we remember these things and stop trying to integrate into the burning house. All right. Romans 13 says, obey the powers that be. There is nowhere on this earth that we can go where we will not be subject to another power.
Mm-hmm.
So don't come with your arguments about leave the country. OK, we're going to stay exactly where the Lord brought us. All right. And that's where we're here today. You got to get this thing out your head. Right. That's what he says. The good racist people, because right away, I think that's part of the issue. People think racism is not alive because you're not seeing the hooded white cloaks.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not seeing public lynchings and things like that. But it's perpetrated every day and by and large, largely against our people. And to say otherwise and to believe otherwise is just plain ignorance. It's just plain ignorance. The Lord foretold that this would be the case and how that would be ongoing. All these type of responses and calls and different things that we get that says otherwise misses the point. You know, you're trying to come with an argument that is not an argument at all. It shouldn't be an argument at all.
And we encourage the calls. We encourage them.
Yeah, yeah. We encourage them. I mean, we're not going to stay debating with you on the phone. You can ask your question. You can make your point, and then we're going to do our show. If you feel so strongly about something, you can make a show. Blog Talk can make you. You can do a show on the Blog Talk radio.
Or you can leave the country.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Or you can leave the country if you don't like it. That works too. But listen, man, I mean, I don't know who the caller was. For all I know, he was our people. And then he's just one of those that's going to take an affront. It's like when we were talking about War of the Planet of the Apes, they had the one gorilla that was
Donkey.
Yeah, so it's like he had so much hatred for his own people that, you know, he was against them. And knowing that they hated him, they called him Donkey.
I mean, Paul said it. He said that he had perils with his own countrymen. So,
yeah.
I mean, we get it.
So it just doesn't make sense to me by any measure when somebody tries to bring an argument like that. It goes to show me that you just – because I've gotten that before. I've gotten that years ago. One of the first times I ever went to camp, somebody was like, oh, well, what about the things that the Israelites did? And, you know, if you guys are the Israelites, what about all that stuff did? And you did it in the name of God. I said, exactly. We did it in the name of God.
He answered his own question.
I said, we did it in the name of God. That's the power that we serve. That's the power of the Bible. If you pretend or you purport to support the God of the Bible and can't find yourself in a place where you can come to terms with something like that, then you don't serve that power because it is what it is. Right? It's like when I was watching that American Gods. So when Bishop was here, I put on that one scene about Easter and stuff for him. And I haven't seen it since I showed it to him, but I just thought of it now. She said something because Easter was still relevant as a goddess, Astera. The god that supposedly represented media, she was telling her, so Easter was telling the media, I feel misrepresented. And she goes, you know that bitter feeling, that taste in your mouth that you have? She was like, you should swallow that down and put a pillow over it. She goes, because that's the deal you made.
Dang.
That's the deal we made with the Lord that we serve. So we don't have aught with those type of things when that's asked of us. And we resign ourselves to accept it. Listen, is it always easy? No. When affliction touches one of our own, it's hard to sit there and say it's of the Lord. Whether it comes out good or not.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to say it comes of the Lord. I had another woman tell me one time, so I can't serve a God that you're saying when a baby gets run over by a car, that's God? So yeah, that's God.
That's Deuteronomy 32:39. I kill and make alive.
Yeah, or that's John. Get the one where he talks about what did he do to be born this way? What did him or his parents do? Just so you can see, and we're going to the New Testament, all right?
This is the book of St. John, chapter 9, and verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth.
So remember, he says the man was blind from his birth. Go ahead.
And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?
So the disciples asked him. Remember, he was born blind. He came out the womb that way. And the disciples asked him. This goes to show you they had understanding of a couple things. All right. He said, who did sin, him or his parents, that he should be born blind? If he was born blind, what sin could he have possibly committed in the womb? All right? So it goes to show you that, one, you do come back. There is regeneration and you do come back. And that if you do come back, sometimes you can pay for your sins that you did in your past life and your present life. All right? That's the heaviness of the power that we serve. All right. That's the reality of the power that we serve. This is coming out of the Bible. All right. And he says, or his parents. The other thing that it shows you is that if you're not right with God, things can happen to your kids.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And that's a heavy thought that you need to think about. All right. A lot of times people just use this for the example of Christ there, you know, running around, dealing with people, healing them and all that other stuff. OK, there's a lot to be said in the scriptures when you read it with your spiritual eye and with faith. And we serve a power that is very humbling at times. So I don't feel no kind of way when I read the things that we did to the other nations. Can I physically do those? No, I don't think so. I don't think it's within my strength or my power to do that now. Don't get me wrong. If I need to defend myself against a situation or whatever, or defend friends or family, you know, I can turn that on. But I'm not an inherently violent person. I don't relish in that stuff. But I relish in it because it's our history, just like they relish when they during the revolution. Okay, well, okay. So let's just say nobody was subjected during the revolution, but they were fighting for control of the country. They killed a lot of their own people.
Mm-hmm.
All right. There was wars and atrocities, and they relish in that history. So the same way you relish in those histories, you know, if you're Italian and you relish in the domination of the Romans over all the lands and the deaths that they did, or you're Greek and you relish in the deaths of what Alexander did, are you a bad person because you're proud of the history and that accomplishment?
See, that's the hypocrisy.
Yeah.
That's the hypocrisy, you know. So that was a very – and again, we encourage the calls, but that was a very hypocritical call, okay, because at the end of the day, all right, let's just say they were from the other nations, everybody relishes in the victories of their neighbor. Okay, the Russians relished during the Cold War. You know, they were spewing their propaganda.
Right.
You know, so which again, or Esau, according to the Bible, the Caucasians. But at the end of the day, so once we start being proud of our heritage,
mm-hmm.
it's a problem. We can't possibly be proud of our heritage.
Right.
You know, when the European Caucasians were getting their ass whooped by the Mexicans. Okay, what do they bring out?
Remember the Alamo.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's relishing, is it not?
It sure is.
Okay. Did Mexicans not get killed?
Mm-hmm.
Was that fight not over land?
Right.
Land that Mexico really started all the way from almost the border of Canada all the way on down to where it is now. And a good show was Into the West. It showed how it just, by the conquering, same thing that the Most High God ordained us to do with the other nations in the book of Joshua,
mm-hmm.
that the caller brought out.
Mm-hmm.
They went ahead and they put it under the guise of manifest destiny.
Right.
How about that?
Right.
And you relish in that.
Except it didn't apply to them because the manifest destiny piece only applies to the Israelites.
That's right.
The Israelites were the only one ordained to go and do those things.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the only ones given that pardon by the Lord. Listen, you're doing this under my command, so there's no consequence. You should not feel ashamed of something that the Lord tells you to do. So basically, that's what he's trying to do. Mm-hmm. Basically, he didn't use the word, but that's basically what, you know, wouldn't it be fair? I mean, you should be, basically, that would have been the next kind of rationale.
That's just trying to justify their evil doing.
Right, right. It's trying to put side by side their evil doing and what they consider evil because they were on the receiving end of that.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't consider it evil because we were on the receiving end of it. We consider it evil because the Bible tells us, hey, that wasn't supposed to be this way. The whole world was created for you and only you. But because you messed up and you didn't keep my commandments, this is what you went through.
It says in the book of Deuteronomy 28 that for our disobedience, that the Lord would send our enemies against us.
Right.
So we understand that it was all of the Lord.
Right.
But we have to bring these scriptures to life for our people so they can see themselves in this book and bethink themselves and remember who they are.
Because if you think about it, let's take the Latinos. Probably short of the Mexicans, Latinos, what do you have that was taught to you that you're proud of? What victories, right? If you think about it, right? What victories do the Puerto Ricans have that we can go ahead and say, wow, we're proud of?
Right.
Them, okay? Or the South Americans or the Central Americans, okay? That's all censored, all right? Why? Because we don't know who we really are. The victories were in the Bible.
I mean, but unfortunately, the so-called Puerto Ricans, who is the tribe of Ephraim, the 12 tribes of Israel, the victory that they glorify in, which is completely crazy, is that wall that they built over there. Like they treat that thing like a national monument. The wall they built when they were conquered to keep out the other nations.
To keep themselves in slavery.
Right.
Under the Spaniards.
Crazy.
Yeah. And they don't do it in the way that we do as a sign of our history, like, because we spoke early when we opened up the show that we should relish and be proud in the curses because they pertain only to us.
Right.
They don't do it in a sense like, yo, this proves the stuff we went through. It's like an accomplishment that they were able to build such a thing, you know? I mean, okay, it doesn't surprise us because we built the pyramids, so we had the know-how and the physical attributes to do something like that. So
right.
It's not surprising, but they hold it up as like a sign, like a standard, you know. Our people are in a low estate, and they need this medicine. They need these scriptures to come out of it. And caller, if you were an Israelite, okay, and just not acknowledging it, you got to understand, man, and some people don't like that because they feel like they're not in control, but you're not. The Bible says, you know, God, you're like, you can't will anything, not a hair on your head. That's why we say Lord's will. You know, you can't, you know, tomorrow's not promised.
Right. A man's goings are of the Lord.
Right.
At the end of the day, we're just pieces on the chessboard.
He's
being played.
The puppet
right.
master.
Right.
Right.
Right. All right. We got 45 seconds left on the show. So good show. For sure. Yeah, I'm glad Captain A, he was in
the fire today.
I know, he brought fire. Fuego.
Brought the fire today.
I know, we got to push the show like that when we share the links.
Right.
Captain A finally speaks.
Right. Brought it out today and bring it out.
Ooh, had a good week. He think dinner.
Right.
I had some good pot roast. Here we go.
See, I knew something was up. Anyway, tune in Wednesday. All right, Officer Mariah will have his show. Spanish show coming soon on Mondays, Lord's will. And Lord's will, next Saturday, we'll have another show coming to you. Hopefully we can touch some more history and relevant current events. With that, we say shalom.
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 Shalom. Shalom. Shalom. Shalom. Shalom. Shalom. Shalom. Shalom. Shalom.